Welcome to The Ether. Today is Monday, April 11th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Find it using the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, part one of a two-part space hosted by the DGen Kitty Guild, chatting about Nebula Protocol, Stator Labs, Phantom, some Alpha, some friends, CeFi's there, Hutch, Lucky. Let's take a listen.
Hey, everybody. We're just going to wait for some people to pile in. I don't know. I was messaged Seffy earlier, but I don't know if he's available right now. Which one? It's the one that's the link. It's the one with the link I just posted. Hold on. I'd like to try and schedule these things out a bit better so we can get more attendance, but yeah. I was just busy with that. Just all kinds of regular work stuff today, so I had to just be a listener all day, but it was still fun. Let's see, maybe we'll send Seffy a message real quick, see if he's available. Mr. Seffy, let's see. If anybody wants to come up and speak, please go ahead. If, oh yeah, go ahead, come up. Hey, man. How's it going?
Good, good.
How you been, man? It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah. Today I got my salary, and it was sent to
you. Just aped into Luna?
Yeah. I put on Astroport, Biluna, and Luna LP.
Yeah, I think that's a good move. I'm there right now too. Actually I split it between there and Spectrum.
Yeah, do you know whether spec reward is auto compounded?
You can choose either you want it to be auto staked or auto compounded. You can choose when you enter.
Yeah, I put auto compounded, but there is a claim button. I don't know if I need to claim every time or not.
I thought it, are you sure it's from that same pool?
Yeah, Biluna / Luna LP Astroport.
That's weird. I thought that if you chose auto compound, then it auto compounded your spec reward.
Yeah.
I have so many LPs on Spectrum. I don't know. I just have a bunch of rewards there, so I don't really know. I have some spec. Every time the spec comes, I move it to whatever it is, 180 day lock or the max lock. I think it's 180 days. And then you can auto stake the whatever else you're earning too from there too. It's kind of convenient. Mm-hmm. I feel so dumb, man. I'm trying to send Seffy a message. For some reason, Twitter logged me out of my account on my one phone, so I only have Seffy from my other account. So I don't hold on. Anyway, So the yeah, that Transect is no longer really a good thing. The Transect is only for a limited time. They had that 0% or whatever through Anchor, some kind of incentivization or something. But
Yeah.
now I've Cato gave me the maximum, whatever. It's still not very much, but you can still put like 3K a day if you want.
I had my KYC approved. It was rejected and I tried again today. It was approved in 5 minutes. But when I put my credit card there, I tried two different cards, one Amex and Visa, and both charged me the same amount, 2.7%.
And what were you telling me about BRL? They charge you so much when you try to something BRL. What was it?
Oh, when I want to on crypto.com, if I want to convert any token to Brazilian reais, the exchange is very bad. It's not useful to use crypto.com to change the token to BRL and then use their credit card. So I'm not going to use the credit card anymore because of this.
Yeah, they sent it to me, but I don't think I'm going to use it either.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of whatever. You can't get the Coinbase one.
Coinbase? No, I can't.
I hate Coinbase one. I really hate Coinbase.
And on crypto.com, if I add a new address, it asks me 24 hours to withdraw. So because I already had my MetaMask BSC address there, I converted to BUSD and sent everything to my MetaMask. Then I used the wormhole to convert to UST, no, to WBUSD. And send a Terra and then swapped on Astroport. The fees were very low.
What are you in on Bitovenex right
I
Did you?
don't have anything on Bitovenex anymore.
Oh, you took it
Yeah, everything now is in Luna.
off? You're a fucking maniac. Just so you know, this Edu is a full degen. Absolutely, he's like 100% bankless, 100% degen. Whenever I feel risky, I just look his direction and I'm like, wow, okay, I guess I could take a little more risk. So there you go. Good.
Now I think about 60% of my savings are on Bitcoin and 30% on Luna. 10% is on my bank
And
account.
you moved 10 to fiat? When did you do this?
Today, I moved the rest to Luna.
Okay. So
And because today I just bought a new car, I don't have almost anything on my bank account. It's almost
yeah, me too, man.
empty.
I just leave enough there to pay the taxes, man. Yeah, fuck these bank accounts, man. So the thing you're asking about, we have to try and get Eisen back because we talked about so many things, man. I was making notes, and it's like this. I tried to read it, and my brain is moving so fast yesterday. I understood everything, but then when I looked at what I wrote, I was like, "Oh fuck!" So I understand most of it, but this particular bean strategy with the wind and the weather and all these tokens, I didn't understand exactly. It was basically something to the effect of that it's like some sort of future that settles, and you do it. I think when Luna is either on the run up or something like this, and then the future settles, and you end up like basically DCAing into this future, into this Luna position. So I don't really understand it. We have to get him back. But the one that I did like in the enter today was the Taro leverage farming with USDC DAI. So I just entered that. So you can, I'm sitting at I think 4x leverage, and you farm Taro, then you can stake that and get X Taro. You can stake that and you get T Phantom, and you can convert that to Phantom. So you're basically like DCAing into Phantom. So that's nice. So Aizen was kind enough to tell us about that yesterday. So I tried that. And there's another move also, which is interesting, I'm planning on doing after this, is on Spooky Swap. Now they're giving away Luna. I guess Doquan and whoever, the LFG gave Spooky a bunch of Luna to incentivize people to move into this ecosystem, I guess, or whatever. And so if you give liquidity there and you farm your LP, then you can basically get Boo token, and then you can stake the Boo token, you get X Boo, and then you can choose which pool you want to put the X Boo into, and then you basically farm that token. So right now there's a you can put your X Boo into a Luna and farm Luna. So Aizen was saying that we should all pool over there and take all the Luna and bring it back. I kind of agree. I'm going to help. I'm planning on helping too. So yeah, I'm going to do that as well. So both of those plays I think are nice. Boo is too overpriced, and then so yeah. Also, there's one more pool I'm going to do as well. It's called Claire de Lune, and that's kind of what we were talking about yesterday. But I didn't have any time. I was exhausted then, so I just went to sleep. And but today I want to enter that pool. It's on Beethoven X. Did you see it? I don't know.
No, I didn't see yet.
You should go. You should go see it.
Yeah. I'm just waiting. I need to wait 2 more weeks to undelegate the rest of my Luna and move it to Astroport. I'm full on Terra now. Terra and Bitcoin only.
Yeah, yeah. I have some Bitcoin also. That's me too. No, actually, that's not true. I have some Akash. I'm not really too spread out on Cosmos, to be honest. I have some Akash and some... Phantom, which is obviously not on. So that's it. I think I'm only in Phantom and Akash, and I moved everything else to Luna now. Yeah, I'm like looped up on Luna X. I have a small kind of like a 2 point something leverage going on borrow position. I'm like leveraged up everywhere at the bottom. I think it might dip a little more, and then I'm planning on just PCing in with like a max amount. I'm just waiting to like do a big buy. I want to I think I'll go like maybe 20% here, and if it goes down a little bit more, I'll just go in 80%, because I think that's the bottom. Yeah. I think it's going to be the bottom there. For now, anyway.
I'm thinking that my salary went one week late, so I was able to buy Luna with more than 15% of discount.
Oh yeah, because you would have. Sometimes you save yourself from yourself. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. I also woke up to a discount this morning, so I was happy with that. Not a big one, but it dipped a little more. So sometimes it's better just to wait. I mean, you're not really missing out. You know, and if you're in it for the long run, like $10 is not like it's not really a big deal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like $50, okay, maybe this is shitty. Yeah, but $10 here and there. Like, I think I don't know. I'm not seeing a lot of people like record their average entries or record anything that they're doing, and that's kind of scary. You're not recording anything either, huh?
You mean my transactions?
Like your average entries, like any kind of your LP positions, nothing, right? You're just winging it.
Now currently I just have one, just the Astroport, so it's easy to track.
I see. So you know your total P&L basically, that's it, yeah?
Yeah. But what I'm doing is I go to the withdrawal and see how many Luna and Biluna I get and put on my spreadsheet.
Okay. Good. I think we were talking like a while back and you're like, no, I don't have any spreadsheet, nothing. I'm like, what the fuck? That's crazy, man. Yeah, everybody does different degrees of record keeping, and everybody does different degrees of taxes. So,
currently, all I have is my car and my house.
Only. I'm glad you went to buy a car, and now your wife is happy, huh?
Yeah, she's very happy.
Oh, good, man. She was like very angry with you, right?
Very, very. And I transfer lots of crypto to my cards and use and bought the car fully on credit card.
Oh man, you should have just like aped into Biluna and taken the money out and just like taken a loan and bought the car with a loan. That would have been a smart move. But credit card is fine, you can pay it off.
Yeah, there is a bank here. The name is Outer Bank that I can buy and get 1% back on Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Yeah. Every country has their own angle. It's so interesting. Or you know. Yeah. It's cool. Oh, it's good, man. I'm glad we got a chance to talk. Yeah. If anybody else wants to come up, Morph or anyone, please feel free. Sefi is requesting. I'm kind of space is dumb, so forgive me all. Let's put Sefi as a co-host. Co-host. Yes, I'm sure. Okay. Just making some coffee. I'm gonna be AFK like 5 minutes this night, and then I'll be back.
I guess we haven't covered yet the subjects in the title yet, I guess, right? Because we just opened the space a few minutes ago, so I guess we can wait for that. I was curious to hear what the story is with the Nebula protocol.
That's pretty much right. I only talked about the little tiny bit about Beethoven X, and that's it.
So yeah, I know, and I know that the Stator Labs FTM thing is something that they're releasing or building. And Stator Labs is supposed to be a multi-chain thing. So that's the reason for maybe holding Stator's token. So whatever Stator Labs token I farmed, I kept it. And then just kind of like held on to it with the XSD, which is where you just stake it into a liquid staked token, which goes up in value. So I figured I'd just hold that forever and see what happens. But yeah, there's like a Stator Labs Phantom connection there. I haven't actually purchased any Stator Labs token on the open market, so I hadn't even watched the price, honestly. I just like left it alone. No idea what it's been doing. Just figured leave it there for a few years and ignore it, you know, because I don't intend to sell it anyway. See what happens. I guess when Zeus comes back from making coffee or whatever, he can tell us about what Nebula protocol is doing. I didn't actually review their full announcement, so I think he went over that to see what it is that we're supposed to be doing there. As far as I'm curious if there's a token for them or not, or whether or not it's just like the protocol opening up. Nebula and Neptune are actually slightly similar names, so be aware there's two separate protocols coming, both with that sound kind of similar, spacey sounding names. You know, it's kind of like looking at the most recent price action. Certainly, if you haven't noticed, you probably should be managing your LTV carefully if you haven't done that already. I sort of provided a bunch of bonded Luna and not too worried about it. I'm also watching for, there's a substantial $78 to $79 liquidation node on Anchor. So there's some whale with there's a wallet with a sizable amount of money there. I'm curious if they're going to get liquidated or not, or whether they're going to defend their position by holding price at current Luna price. I guess one of the two could possibly happen. They just simply continue to buy up Luna and therefore don't let themselves get liquidated, or pay down their loan with cash, or they could sell Luna, I suppose, to settle their loan, but that would also cause the price to dip. So I think it's still possible to hit like $75 Luna, I think, because of that large possible liquidation sitting there, a potential liquidation, since there's a loan with an LTV at right around 78 to 79 bucks. So just something to be aware of. If you want to check it out for yourself, look at Alpha DeFi, which if you follow their Twitter, it'll take you to the their webpage, and this is a worthwhile one to bookmark. And let me tell you the URL here. It's app.alphadefi.fund, app.alphadefi.fund. And there's a page on there called the liquidation pools. And you'll see that there's like little, there's a graph, and, you know, the on the y-axis is the price of Luna, and the x-axis is the amount of outstanding loans at each level. And basically, the bigger that sort of like bar is, that means the more coin will that will get liquidated as a result of that loan being hit. So just kind of keep an eye out for that. Current price is over 30% pullback, which in my book is always a buy in crypto. I usually will sort of escalate anywhere down from 30 to 50 to 60% pullbacks and just kind of escalate my purchasing during that time. I've been thinking a little bit about when I might want to use my Anchor Borrow again. It sort of depends on timing. I have a fair amount of Luna that's being burned on Anchor right now, so it's going to take a little while this coming week for all of that to sort of emerge, at which point I could use that for additional collateral to borrow some more. I'm not so sure that I want to, since the last significant borrow that I did was about at $75 with bonded Luna rate. I think I got my cost base is like $72 on that Luna. So I think only to be cautious, I'm not going to borrow until, or only if we get below around $70, in which case I think the risk benefit is good. Raul Paul just sent out a quick message, and his suspicion is that perhaps the reason why we have a sizable dump in the market, besides the fact that stocks are down a little bit today and equities and all the markets are sort of down, it may be because people are tax selling, because there's quite a few people that like made profits and were in the green after last year's bull market times and may not have actually set aside money to pay their taxes. So it's quite possible.
I saw that too.
So it's quite possible that what you're seeing here is at least some relationship to selling to pay taxes. Hard to say, though. Hard to say. And remember, crypto is global. So, and Luna in particular is relatively global as far as reach and the users. So it may not be as susceptible to that specifically. I think what happening in Luna right now is that really we're seeing just a major deleveraging related to all the hubbub that came from the VCs that bought Luna in exchange for Bitcoin at $50 to $60. And then after that, like a whole lot of news came out about Terra backing UST with BTC and all of that business. I think all of that led to sort of like the most recent run up, and perhaps quite a few people might have fueled that run up on leverage, whether it's on Anchor, whether it's on centralized exchanges. And then on the way up, at some point, some of those people started to sell. And then on the way down, some of those people probably got, they probably closed their positions, which essentially constitutes a sell. Or some of those people on the way down got liquidated, which causes this sort of cascade. So I think this was just a big liquidation cascade event.
It was probably everybody with a kamikaze wallet getting liquidated at leverage.
No, I don't think it's so much. Yeah, well, anyone on liquidation, and regardless of the type. I think it's just deleveraging event. It just speaks to how fast this drop was, right? It's only been like, you know, this week, essentially, and we went from a top to a 30%+ correction that quickly. That velocity generally happens if there's a deleveraging style problem, or if there's like literally really bad news, like really bad FUD or something like that might trigger something like that. But since I don't believe we've had anything like that, I think most of it is just the general market movement, as well as an inordinate amount of liquidations related to people taking on leverage because of all the positive news coming out. So the good news is every time you have a big peak like that, it brings in new buyers. And not to say that I want some new guy to come in at 120 via bag holder, but each time there's a big peak, a lot of attention happens. Remember, price is a meme. You get a lot of attention from the media. You get a lot of attention in clicks and social media interactions, and people buy in. And so, you know, yesterday's bag holder is considered today's dip buyer, right? or quote unquote investor. So each time that happens, you do bring in new people, new blood into the system. And you, to some extent, do the same when you have the price drop, because you wind up having a lot of people that are interested in an asset. They've been watching it and they're like, hey, you know what? Like, that's going down. I'm going to get some of that. So that's a possibility as well. But you want to get into the Nebula protocol thing real quick? Did you have some alpha on that, or what's happening with
it? Yeah. It's rather complex, to be honest. I skimmed through the article, and essentially the TLDR is the final launch itself is happening. It looks like to be on 5/15. So what is that?
So they make it clear what kinds of investment products are going to be on Nebula exactly?
They're doing this super complex phase thing, kind of like KNTC or what was this, Kinetic. So they have phase one. It will consist of four main stages. So the first stage is a Luna airdrop to Luna stakers, 1% of total supply. This happens on 4/15, so in 4 days. You can go to app.neb.money and claim your airdrop if you're staking Luna. Phase two.
Do you know what the snapshot for that was?
It doesn't say. So I was wondering the same thing, because
I'm presuming. Are they including? Do they say if they're including bonded Luna or Y Luna stakers?
It doesn't say, and there's not a whole lot of information, to be honest. It's just like one liner, phase one, and then it tells you 1% of total supply, and then when it's claimable. So I'll look in the documentation. I'll try to gather some more alpha. So we'll see, but this is so far, I think, what they've released.
I forget, though, was Nebula one of those protocols that had the its own validator you had to stake with for airdrops?
This is the one.
Somebody did, and I can't remember if it was Nebula that did that, or was it Neptune? I could be wrong. I'm just talking my ass, but somebody had a validator that you could stake to. I'll check on that if I can find it.
I got rugged. Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
You're good.
Okay. Sorry. What was your question right before I got rugged? Sorry.
I don't remember. It was Nebula or Neptune that had an actual validator you had to stake to get the airdrop. It wasn't just like a general airdrop for everybody.
It doesn't sound familiar for Nebula, so maybe it was Neptune.
Check the list. Let me go AFK for a second. I'll check.
Okay.
Yeah, carry on.
Okay. So so Nebula, if anybody knows more about Nebula, please come up to speak. I don't want to be like butchering this in half, but I didn't hear a lot of people talking about it. I've seen LeJimmy drop some alpha. I saw some sort of like small screen grab that he did of him arbing into one of these clusters. So essentially, as I understand it, this protocol is like asset clusters of different native assets. So there's like these nebulas of different native assets, so different pools of like clustered assets, and then you can buy into the index of that pool, is my understanding. I think they offer other products as well, but that's kind of the main their main thing from reading the documentation. That was my understanding. So yeah, we get this first phase airdrop. Next phase is basically an LP, which is a bootstrapping event. 2% of the total supply will be emitted then. So there's a governance proposal, and it's a NEB UST pool. So that's essentially phase two. And then phase three is the proposal for the Nebula Genesis cluster. So the full protocol is going live on 5/10. So there's the steps two and three, which are the Nebula liquidity bootstrapping event on phase two, and the phase three Nebula Genesis cluster proposal you can actually go to the gov and go ahead and vote by staking your NEB token there. So there's lots more information.
Oh, and I think Nebula's airdrop is probably to all Luna holders, because what I was thinking of was Neptune Finance. Mm-hmm. Neptune actually has a validator that if you staked with them, you had extra airdrops as a result of that. So that's unrelated to this, by the way. So
they're also similar, though. They're also similar sounding. But yeah. So do you have any? Is that pretty much the basic gist of it, Steffi? They have these asset clusters that are like, they're, you know, that's their main product, right?
Yeah, and I'm not sure that I understand the full execution of it. So once it opens up and we can see what it does, interact with it a little bit, get a better understanding of like what we expect to have happen with it in terms of yield or other elements, you know, we can get into the deep with it. But I guess the initial stuff is what, their token release schedule. Yep. There's some mixture of airdrops and then like some kind of price discovery, a lock drop or something, or?
It's like a NEB UST event, similar to this liquidity bootstrapping event that Kinetic had, where they be basically locking into what's essentially an LP.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean they've got to get their liquidity from somewhere,
right?
So they're kind of relying on the users to provide that, and then if the users provide that liquidity, there's some advantages to doing so in the form of the token, probably, and then ultimately, The tricky thing with these things is always when there's an airdrop, it's sometimes not fully clear, you know, how much dumping happens with airdrops. What I think I'm going to do with my Nebula airdrop, though, is I'm just going to hold it and stake it. Mm-hmm. And assuming whatever Luna I have is actually qualified, I think my Y Luna probably, but I'm not really sure. I have my loon all over the place, and a lot of it's in bonded form, so that's what the problem is. But if my take on the token is going to be, I'll just stake it, and then simultaneously, if during the price discovery phase, the price goes down, then I'll try to double my staking position, and then stake that too. So that would bring my cost basis down to like whatever half of whatever I bought the token for is the way I'll see it, and then just stake the whole thing. So we'll see how that goes. I'm not too keen on Nebula's like value accrual mechanism and all that. So everyone needs to sort of like look out for their white paper, check that, do your research in terms of like what kind of timing and what kind of vesting schedule they have on tokens and all that jazz. But as long as there's an airdrop, I usually have some plan for that. Whether I feel like I'm going to sell an airdrop because it's not something that interests me, or whether I'm going to hold it and stake it. And for this one, I tend to like the financial products types things. As long as there's a decent value accrual mechanism, I think I will just stake it.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same. For everybody that's interested, I'm sorry that I didn't pin it to the space, but I did post it. If anybody wants to see the docs there. So if you look, just that's like my latest tweet there. So essentially, I'm curious on liquid staking or what exactly their staking options are. You know, I don't think their docs are super clear. When I read through them, it was kind of like an early stage. So I should probably revisit them now that maybe they fleshed them out a bit more or something.
Yeah. Let's see what happens with that. Definitely keep an eye on it. Follow their Twitter profile. Nebula should have some interesting products in terms of yield opportunities and such. And I think Nebula and Neptune are going to be open to essentially community feedback in terms of what people would like to see in terms of future investing products that are happening on their protocols. So it'll be like a vault concept. You know, you put your money in it, and, you know, something's being done, either some trading or some yield or whatever, and that's being released to you over time as some kind of yield or value capture mechanism. So we'll see. I find that a lot of these protocols, like there's only so many things you can do, right? Like you have to have the base protocol have some value. And then, you know, there's things like Spectrum that's an auto compounder or a few other types of mechanisms. But I don't know. I'm finding that in DeFi that there's only so many things you actually need. And right now it's like you want something relatively stable that has superior yield to Anchor. One of those, by the way, right now, I'm not sure if anyone has watched what happened to the Spectrum token. This looks interesting at this price. Where is it?
Where did it retrace to?
It's sitting at 297. So like a 19% drop over 7 days. And the relative yield in UST on this at this price, let me see. And I bought it more like at like 220, by the way, just for reference. I wish I bought more at that price. Now that I know a little bit more about the tokenomics and such.
That's funny because I looked at it at 216 and it looked like that's right about where it got the floor and I didn't buy any. I was like, ah.
Yeah. Well, there was a floor below. They went even below that, but but remember, the tokenomics changes weren't there at the time. Right. But yeah, the 180-day lock period for Spectrum token at this price, so in UST is 38% APY, and that's paid in UST. So if the price of spec goes up, it's going to look like your APR is going down because right, it's relative to the price of the token. But at this price, in other words, it's a really good deal because your yield's like 37.85%. There's like a burn and buyback mechanism to help reduce supply of this thing. They have done quite a bit to improve the sort of value capture there. So besides maybe getting Luna, I might, if I decide to do some Anchor borrow off my Luna here, I think one of those things I'm going to be looking at is just grabbing a little bit more spec, possibly, especially if the if we have a further dip in Luna and the Terra alt sort of tank, it's probably going to represent a decent opportunity for that. Because like the spec rewards are pretty nice because since they're UST, like while Luna's down, you know, I was sort of like getting some of that and buying a little Luna here and there. And just adding to my Luna stack with UST, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. You were here last night, right, Sophie? Or yesterday?
Yeah, yeah.
Aizen was showering us with multitudes of so many different strategies. I captured just a fraction of them. were you listening? Were you listening to that?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I was very grateful. So...
I've had more time this week because I'm off work and I'm like traveling. So it's like, had to make a trip. And so, like, a lot of the day I'm not really doing too much right now. So just chilling.
Cool. That's good. Yeah. This week I have a lot of IRL stuff to do. So I'll be a little bit busy, but I will try and at least open up the spaces. If I'll just like, I work from home, so I can just leave my thing like glued to the space. So hopefully everybody won't get rugged and like people can just come and host or what. I'll just like leave it open basically if people want. There was a couple of strategies that I did capture fully and I'm actually planning on moving into them. One of them was this very interesting Claire de Lune that they just started, and they're, you know, the kind of alpha that we covered yesterday, right? To just cover it in case anybody missed, basically Frax and Luna did a partnership and they seeded a pool on Beethoven X with some Luna, and it's actually like a variety LP. So you go into it with Luna and Phantom and a couple other things, and it looks pretty juicy. Have you looked at that at all, Steffi?
No, I haven't looked at anything off of Terra lately.
Let me not be so glib. I'll tell you all exactly what it consists of. Hold on 1 second. Claire de Lune, 25% Phantom, 50% Luna, 25% UST. So both of those are Wormhole. If you're not familiar with Wormhole, you can just go through the Terra bridge and go straight. If you just select Phantom, basically, you're getting Axelar wrapped, and from there you can go to Beethoven X and just swap it for UST Wormhole. Just do a straight swap from UST Axelar to UST Wormhole, and then the Luna Wormhole, you can do the same thing. Just go ahead and swap it, get the Axelar wrapped, and swap it for Wormhole. Unfortunately, we currently have to do this really annoying thing. For some reason, Axelar and Wormhole can't get it together, but or they just don't want to work together. I don't know exactly why this is happening, but that's besides the point. The APR is 70.34%, and it's currently got about 3 millis in there. It's piling in. The pool has been active for 5 days. This is the fifth day, so I guess 4 days. So it's getting rewarded about 5K beats a day and about 3K Axelar UST, or I think it's Axelar. It's either getting rewarded Axelar UST or Wormhole UST and beats. So you'll be getting beats and UST. You'll be farming beats and UST.
And before you go into like farming these things, you're talking about like what type of time frame are you talking about, and are the tokenomics of these things any good? Or
yeah, so
start throwing some money at it and just see what happens.
No, so the way that Eisen explained it to me, or the way I understood it, is that it's basically a dynamic DCA into Luna and Phantom. So that sounded very interesting to me. So I was going to test it out with a little bit and see how it went. I'm farming Phantom in various places. So
it's Phantom three coins. It's UST, Luna, Phantom.
Yeah, 50% Luna, 25% UST, 25% wrapped Phantom. But you don't actually,
it's not really it's not exactly a dynamic DCA. Be careful that when you use LPs and your coin prices fall, you will have more of the coin, yes. But it's not the same as had you just simply exponentially bought the coin in terms of your purchasing power. It's a lot less. So like DCAing into coins using LP is something that like Shigeo,
it's like a lazy man DCA.
Well, Shigeo and Donku kind of like argued this back and forth quite a bit, and Donku's conclusion was that actually, like a true dynamic DCA is actually going to be more effective with an equivalent price movement versus doing it via LP, which is not nearly as efficient. So yeah, it is a type of kind of weird DCA, but it's not the same thing as just simply buying low. Like it's not.
Exponentially buying as it goes lower is the best DCA.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Part of it is because you're 50% in the position already. That's the first thing. Whereas if you have spare cash and you're DCAing in, you're not in the position at all. You're just entering the position as price falls. It's a bit different.
Sure. Anyway, the cool thing there that you can do, though, is you do get rewarded in beats and you are farming a little UST. So that does offset a little bit. And then you can go ahead and lock your LPs and farm F beats. And then you can lock the F beats and you start getting protocol rewards. So you can actually get like an additional topper on that. On that APY that you're getting through the pool, so it's an interesting ecosystem. But I agree with you. Thank you for that feedback. Always good to understand a strategy before you ape in. So I was planning on putting a little. Seeing how it's a very interesting pool, and I'm already pretty invested on Beethoven X. So I was thinking there was another thing that I went into, which is the Taro USDC DAI leverage farm. So I'm at 4x there. Farming Taro, and then you put the Taro as you stake the Taro and you get X Taro, and then you stake the X Taro and you get T Phantom, which then you can swap for Phantom. So it's essentially just farming Phantom, leverage farming Phantom with stables. And the APR is pretty low, but you're leveraged up, so it's good. I play with some stables. I don't put everything, so I like think some things like that. Have you looked at Taro or played on Taro at all, Steffi?
Not in the slightest. I haven't done anything Phantom related one way or the other.
Oh, that's right. You told me.
Yes.
Not
at all.
Let's go and switch to Stater. Like, I agree with you about the Stater token. I have some that are just sitting there. I did a little bit of the Luna X Luna one on a loop, so I could farm some SD tokens. And I'm not quite sure what to do with them. The last time I looked at the price, I think it was $8. It was like a couple of weeks ago. I did hear, though, that if you don't claim your SD tokens before unstaking your LP, that they disappear. I don't know if that's true, but you might want to think about...
if you don't claim them before unstaking, they disappear.
supposedly, I was looking through this thread and somebody was like kind of wilding out that their SD tokens had disappeared because they unstaked their LP from Loop and the...
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
you because claim it's, it first.
Yeah, because it's weird because you're staking on Loop, but you actually have to claim your SD tokens on Stator, right? Have you claimed any of your tokens yet or no?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, but you have to hit the claim button, yeah.
Yeah. And then did you do the XSD or are you just holding them?
I went ahead and did the XSD, which is the staking of their token. And I don't remember what the APY was for doing that, but I went ahead and did it just because I wasn't planning on touching it. So I figured just leave it ride, let it ride and kind of see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just leaving it there. What about all your Loop tokens that you're farming? What are you doing with them?
I still haven't figured out how to claim the damn Loop tokens.
I moved mine to the long lock. I was like,
Simon was on earlier. I should have asked him, like, how do I, like, so I have an LP, right? Which page has my damn tokens on it?
It's a little, it's weird to, and then if you, I don't know if you have.
Like walk me through this shit. Like, where is it? Like, I can't find it. I'm like, I'd like to claim my tokens and then
go to
like,
your portfolio page.
Okay.
And then on the bottom, there's like these couple of rows that should show your LPs. And then there's this little button, like on the right hand side, looks like a plus. You can click it and expand the little item. And then there's it shows you how many rewards you have and you can claim them right there. It's not intuitive.
There's a plus where? To your farm button?
Yeah.
Well, I only have stake and then I have unstake.
Maybe they changed it because they did the whole re-UI. That's that.
I still don't know where my tokens are.
Wait a second, I'll tell you.
What I'm saying is I've got, so there's a total pending rewards. It says coming soon. They don't haven't implemented that.
Yeah, that's been coming
and
soon
then,
for a long time.
Like when I go to 8-board, it tells me how much I have. But.
Let's see, Loop Finance, here it is. In case anybody's wondering, that's dex.loop.markets.
Because I've got a C-Luna -P-Luna LP at 17.99% APY. I figured I would sort of use my P-Luna for something. And also, I use some of my P-Luna for paying for Prism token. Hmm. So I figured if the price of this fell, I would wind up with more P-Luna tokens, right? So that would replace the P-Luna that I spent on Prism tokens. So this way, like I'd replenish that pool or whatever. Of course, my LP position's total value has taken a nosedive because of Luna's price. But I just don't know where on this thing I'm supposed to push.
So when you're looking at your portfolio page, do you have? Are you farming them or are you just staking?
I have farm. Well, what do you mean?
So there's two categories. Sections on the page. There's farm, and then on the very bottom, there's staking positions. Are yours under farm or on the other ones?
I farmed and then staked. Mm. Right? You're supposed to do both, are you not?
Yes. So you have your positions show up under the farm section, right?
Yeah.
So then on the very right-hand side, you see the plus button?
Very right-hand side, there's a plus button.
Yeah.
On the farm page
on the portfolio page. Yeah, on the portfolio page. They made it really confusing.
On the portfolio page, there's a plus button next to my farm, right?
Yeah, on each item. And then if you click it, there's two buttons, stake and unstake and claim. So in order to claim your Loop tokens, you have to unstake and claim. And then you lose the next rewards, but you get the awards that have... Rewards that have vested. All right. Huh.
Okay. Are you sure you want to unstake your LP and rewards? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You can't just get your rewards?
Nuh-uh. You can't. No.
So where the hell are those going then? Are they staked? Like, am I getting...
No, they're not. They're not staked. You have to unstake your LP. It's very clunky. You have to unstake your LP, claim your rewards, then stake your rewards, then restake your LP, and refarm your LP after that.
But don't you lose a week worth of shit then?
Yes.
So, what am I missing here?
you're getting punished to stake your claim your tokens.
You don't think that's weird?
I do think it's weird. That's why I don't have a big position there.
I gotta ask Simon how to unlock this shit.
Sure, makes it's sense.
It's a little weird. I do not.
Because I would think you'd want your tokens and you'd want to stake them, or you'd want to sell them. One of the two.
Or they should have a button like Spectrum, move to Gov. That would be very cool.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, that would make sense.
If they're not going towards some facility of like you said, if they're not actually already in some sort of not locked Gov, in that when once they're vested. And they're just sitting there doing nothing for you, basically.
Because right now, it doesn't allow me to even see how many I have, how many like loop tokens I've accumulated.
Really? Oh, in total?
Yeah, Apeboard shows this.
Right.
We're talking about
loop. Total, like, they still don't have it yet.
Was wondering what the hell we're talking about. It's on loop. So you have your pool rewards. You have your pool V3. It says coming soon. It has farm. And then it has staking positions, and it says stake some loop here, which is the bottom.
But that's not the ones in your LP. And then they have the unstake and claim, which makes...
That's not the ones in your LP either.
And I don't want to hit unstake and claim because I don't want to lose...
Yeah, you're vesting your next rewards, right?
Is that what happens? You lose week?
Yes. Yeah, we got to get loop up here and ask him what's going on with
that. Yeah, that's a bit convoluted.
Because you would think you'd want to stake your loop.
Yeah, exactly. I'm wondering if I should just sell all my loop off, like just unstake and claim and just...
I don't know. Maybe Lucky or Brian here know what the hell is going on.
Because not trying to fud loop at all. Not trying to fud loop, but we'd like to know how to stake our
claim tokens, please.
Yeah, well, there's only so many LPs on there that seem particularly interesting. I did the P Luna, C Luna because it was relatively Luna neutral. Worst case would be that I got more P Luna, which is fine. And it would sell some of my C Luna to get it, which is fine, no big deal. Mm-hmm. And then I'd get the APY for a minute. It's like a rational choice, a place to park my P Luna. But Lucky Brian, you guys know anything about this?
Yeah. So I've been farming on Loop for a while, and I've been listening in on their AMAs, and that was one of my questions week after week on when can I claim my stake or my rewards without unstaking my LP.
Exactly.
They said that they're working on it like that. So their next step is going to be exactly what you said. We'll be able to unstake. I mean, well, to claim your rewards and go straight to governance. That's kind of their next upgrade within the farming. But you do not lose any rewards by unstaking. It's just a pain because it's like six.
You do lose your next rewards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like it says. Right now, mine, it says next reward is in 14 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so if I unstake now, I'll lose that reward.
Yeah.
So
you will look at that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But that accumulates over what time period, though?
Over a 24-hour period, I think, right? That's a 24.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's not a week, just 24.
No, hours. Yeah, yeah. 24-hour period.
So what you're saying to me is you got to pick a moment where, like, you just finished getting all your rewards. You don't have – you get the right timing.
Yeah.
They should have like a warning on there, like do it this time, dude.
Pretty much.
Your rewards. You take that shit. You stake it. Brian, did you stake your rewards already?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I've been staking my loop. I mean, and you can see how much you've accumulated over the course of your time. Hopefully, because I mean, I can see mine right now with my Luna X Luna pool. I can see how many loop tokens I've gotten.
Now I'm a little bit more comfortable with loop at these prices of loop token, you know, after the price has been really pulled down a lot.
Yeah.
I was less interested in farming loop token while the price is relatively high.
Oh, for sure.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that this is a reasonable time to be getting in, although I'm not sure that it is necessarily. We'll see. But I've been farming that this whole week.
Did you guys get into that degen vault on Stater or no?
Not yet, no. No, yeah, but Stater's the hot topic. Do you guys want to switch to that?
Yeah, tell us about what you heard about them.
Okay, so they're partnering with Phantom, and they're doing a first product is a liquid staking where you can essentially borrow against it. Second product that's on the roadmap is a simple staking, and the third product is I can't remember. But that's essentially the lowdown there. So it's not like formed or anything, but they're going to be working on it. And the first product they're launching is this liquid staking, where essentially you'll be able to take your Phantom, bring it to Stator, and stake it there and borrow against it, essentially. It's my understanding. Yeah.
Cool. I like the Degen ball better.
Tell us.
I don't know if it touches maybe edge strategy, but it looks like it's coming. A Luna X edge strategy, 18% APR.
Ooh. I'm using a Luna X edge strategy. Are you also looping
on? So you're basically keeping your value of your in theory, you're keeping your value of your Luna X.
Yep.
Accumulating over time, but then you're also making an 18%. How? On what? Like on UST or?
I don't know. It's called Degen Vault. It just does something Degen and gives you back the APR.
Did it auto loop it for you or what?
Just some magical auto loops in the background or some shit.
Let me click learn more. Oh,
wait. We don't even need to learn more. It says Degen. If Eisen was here, he would be signed up. 95% LTV.
You would have already signed up. Like, no need to read the instructions or whatever.
What are we I think so. They haven't approached me about doing. Actually, I shouldn't say that. So I did a video, but I said that my edge should be in conjunction with my mirror. Like the two should be together. So once I put out the mirror video, they're going to talk about doing the Hutch vault with me. So they haven't talked to me about this edge vault, but I did see a tweet.
Are they going to call it Hutch Vault? They got to. They have to.
That would be cool.
You need a Hutch Vault. At least one vault should be named the Hutch Vault. On Terra, you got to leave your mark on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, lift my leg on it. So.
Yeah, it's like pissing in the corner.
Right. Hutch Vault is mine. Now the Edge Vault that they tweeted about is it's like borrowing Luna. And then looping that to Luna X. And I don't know how they're getting to that rate of return. I see it. Like the idea is that the borrow rate on the Luna is less than the staking you get on Luna X, and maybe you get some ARB in between, maybe you don't. But those seem like high numbers. So it could be a different
strategy. Degen Vault. I'm sold. I don't even care what the APR is. Right.
Just it probably liquidates your Luna X somewhere. No way it's happening for free, right?
Like I just enter in and it's gone.
You're like a year goes by, you earn all this, you know, accrued yield on your Luna X, and then it gets deleted.
I did ask him. I said, "Are you guys prepared to like prop up in case of like you know Scamwix or whatever?" And they said, "No, it's got to be self-sustaining." So, yeah, that is possible. So like
someone needs to do this Degen Vault with Kinetic. Like I haven't seen that yet. Like so between Aperture, this Delta Neutral, and this Degen Vault on Stator, someone needs to plug in Kinetic when it's live. So a lossless Degen Vault.
Aren't they doing a Degen Vault on Loop too soon?
I'll tell you something that's crazy interesting that's happening this week.
Lossless Degen Vault.
That is not.
You know, someone just posted like a 1400% gain. On a Luna 50x long just a little while ago.
Oh, Lord.
So I guess they must have, they probably threw like $100 at it and just said, screw it, right? Like, but you know, if you're going to do it, go 50x, right? Because if you're going to take the liquidation risk, get that 1400%, right? You know, it's like he's going to send his kids to college on that or something, you know?
Oh, man, the Hail Mary.
What were you going to say, Hutch?
The one that's up by Clean Cuts and Yield Foundry DAO, which was a great strategy. I was planning on including part of that as some of mine as far as just doing a combination of looping Luna X and AUST. And with the 110% collateral ratio needed on Coke, KO, and MSPY, I did some initial things and you could just like almost loop that thing to infinity. Right. And thinly collateralize it. And I think that's what was happening over. I don't know if what was happening in there, but I don't know if you guys saw the proposal that passed on Mirror late last week. Pappy tweeted a warning, like anybody who's thinly collateralized on SPY and Coke, it goes back up to 130 tomorrow or that it's going to pass or fail tomorrow, but it's already like way into pass. And effective Thursday, they're going to raise those collateral ratios on 110 to 130. And Pappy later tweeted that he's going to run some kind of bot that just scans to see like how many people are just going to get completely screwed because they can't unwind all that stuff. So I don't know if some of that
so,
is in.
So what you're setting and saying is in DeFi, you can't just set it and forget it. You have to go watch the governance to see if someone's going to vote you into oblivion.
Pretty much. Well,
that's
and
pretty much the deal.
Yeah.
This reminds me of all my DAOs that I lost my money in now.
So this is not financial advice, but if you're a staker of Mir, and obviously there's risk in holding Mir between now and then, but staking rewards can be pretty juicy in Mir. And needless to say, whether people are getting liquidated or they're managing positions, there's probably going to be a lot of activity this week on Mir. Not financial advice, just saying.
Interestingly, Hutch, so, all right. So if since Luna's price is at a relative low now, where do you see this S&P strategy going with Luna at a relative low and S&P where it is? You would really, your strategy of sort of borrowing off and shorting the S&P would really mostly work when Luna's at a bottom and S&P's at a top, right?
Yep.
In theory. Yep. Do you see that as a viable possibility if Luna's price itself is sufficiently low enough, or no, it's irrelevant?
I looked a little more today, not financial advice. But yeah, I did. I looked a little bit more today, and the S&P's down too. But the S&P's kind of unless the S&P's like fully crashed or like they were still at a relative high. I just need Luna to outperform the S&P. But when I collateralize it. So the liquidation's at like 146.67. So just for all practical purposes, let's round up to 150 for, you know, just for a little bit of room. So if I collateralize at 210, I can have a 70% drop, or I'm sorry, a 30% drop and not get liquidated. Obviously, if the S&P goes up aggressively in the same time, I don't have that much room.
Have you thought about just shorting the VIX? While it's popped, like, I don't know what VIX is today, but like, let's say VIX just does a nice pop, right?
I don't think that's an option.
Luna's low, VIX pops, and then you short the VIX on a relative high on the VIX. That might work.
I don't know if the VIX is a, oh yeah, it is a VIXY.
Yeah, but that's different. That's the opposite.
Yeah.
So I firmly believe the S&P is the one you want to do it on. So I'm not messing with Coke. I'm not messing with VIXY. That would be like
if you think Coke is going to moon or something.
No, but there's quarterly earnings, and so there's just like there's going to be quarterly volatility that exists that doesn't exist with SPY.
Remind me, you shorted the SPY this time, or you longed it? I can't keep track. Because last time we were at the top.
I borrow SPY, and then I immediately sell it or swap it.
You borrowed using Luna X, right?
Yeah, I park Luna X, and then I borrow SPY, so I'm technically long, but then I owe the shares back in SPY. It's kind of like the edge loan. I'm borrowing SPY. I have to pay back in SPY, so I really want SPY to go down. So I sell it right then. I'll either swap it for Luna X on Terraformer, or I will swap it for UST on TerraSwap. There's no need to pay Terraformer if you're just doing if it's not going through three different things, or I'll just swap it for UST. And if I'm just looping Luna X, I'll just swap it for Luna X and just do that two or three times. I think.
And what are you doing with the UST? Just getting more Luna X and looping again?
No, if I do the UST, then I'll park it into earn. I'll park it into earn, and then I'll set up a separate position where I loop against AUST. So it's almost like, and this is going to be in my video, a little sneak preview, just like people have like stocks and bonds, like they have a pie chart in their 401k. I have a pie chart in my mirror strategy. So like Luna X is my stock. AUST is my bond. It's better than any bond out there. And both of those I am looping or borrowing against. I'm juicing up the position against the S&P. So the S&P may go up from here. But as long as it doesn't go up more than 19.5% per year in AUST, I'm ahead of the game. And if it doesn't go up more than Luna, then I'm ahead of the game. But I
what about downside?
The downside is obviously if the S&P just spikes and totally moons, which is hard to imagine in this environment. But the real downside risk is if, like right now, I started this position in the low hundreds with Luna X, but you just have to have collateral staging of Luna X to slap more Luna X as collateral.
Got it. I like it.
Yeah, the video will...
Realistically, though, now would be a rational time just because we have a relative Luna low, as a, even though S&P 500 is not...
Yeah, like the S&P 500 lost 5%, lost 5%. Like I got the S&P at a pretty close to a high, so it lost 5%. So it's not ideal for the S&P, but Luna dropped 20 and change. So still relatively, if you started the position right now, you can't. But if you started the position tomorrow and we're in the same place, you're better off than me starting it 2 weeks ago.
I still have that 3,900 to 3,600 level in S&P coming, but... That's just me.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, yeah, I don't even need the S&P to drop. If it drops, that's a bonus.
Right.
I just need Luna to outperform the S&P. That's it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Which I think is a fair bet in my mind.
That's a fair bet.
Yeah.
Overall, and, especially from this price, it's even fairer bet, obviously.
But you have to have the collateral to slap against it. And just so you know, for three loops, I was getting like 1.7x leverage, and I still had some left over.
What proportion of your Luna X were you, did you set aside for additional collateral, 50% or?
It started at that much, but I've now looped some of that into the strategy to take advantage of this dip. And that's hence the Hutch vault will be a combination of the mirror looping. The AUST can act as collateral staging. Like if Luna X drops, I can use the AUST. I can close out those positions and buy Luna X on the dip. But then also I use the edge as my collateral staging to stack onto the position if I need to manage it. And so that's really what the video is going to, it's stacking up to be a very long video. But when I pitched the DJN vault strategy, it's the Luna X mirror loop with using Edge as collateral staging, because it allows you to juice up. Not only are you getting your staking yields, but you can also juice up. You can do all the LPs that you guys are talking about. I don't recommend loop. Seems like the Luna B Luna auto compounded into spectrums, like the best.
That's what we were talking about earlier. That's the one I jumped into.
Yeah. But I can park Luna X, borrow Luna, swap half to B Luna, and put that in the pool, and I'm getting yield over and above the borrow rate for Luna. Plus, I'm getting all my staking yield on Luna X. So it's like a super juiced collateral staging, and that loan is like almost impossible to get liquidated. And when things go crazy, like today, I just closed out the Spectrum position and started slapping some of that Luna X to beef up my collateral ratios, but also to take advantage of looping that the low price of Luna.
This is all an edge though, right?
No, edge and mirror combo.
This is still an edge, which I don't think they're still not fully audited. Did they get fully audited yet?
I don't know. I've run a lot of stuff through there.
I think it's still listed as beta, right?
Yeah, it is listed as beta. I think they did get audited, but maybe it's not fully. I don't know the distinction there. But what I do know is I've run a lot of shit back and forth in and out of there, and I haven't been screwed yet.
You feel good. You feel good with that?
I do, yeah. Yeah. Not financial advice. Everybody has to do their own research. But I feel like you can look at their utilization rates. Like if they were going to rug, or it's kind of like what my buddy's developer friend told me once when he was saying, like, he was all worried about just even staking on Stator. He's like, isn't that an extra risk? Like, I'm already staked on Terra Station Wallet. If I go to the Stator, I can get now, like, I
now, can, now yeah. You're in like three different smart contracts simultaneously.
Right. He's like, are there smart contract risk? And this is what the developer said. He just said, really, none of them are safe. Like, all of them are able to be hacked some way, somehow. Like you'd need so much computing power and so much whatever. But like, as soon as something proves itself, as soon as there's like multiple millions of dollars, or certainly with, like with Anchor, billions of dollars. As soon as there's hundreds of millions of dollars, if somebody could have hacked it, they're not waiting for the hackathon to make 1 million, right? They would have gotten it already. So that's kind of my line in the sand. Like I kind of chimped in, not even like I pygmy monkeyed into Edge in the beginning. And, you know, I just saw the TVL go up and then I just started doing more and more with it as time went on.
Yeah, I can access it now, which is good. Before I wasn't able to access it, which is weird.
Capturing $1 billion in uncensorable money would be the probably the crime of a lifetime.
Yeah, that's a hackathon and a half.
I'm going to start doing the Luna X R because that's sitting steady at that 1.8. I'm going to start that again.
Yeah, there's sometimes where it's better than others. When I've been doing my bids on Kujira, though, I've been just going to Luna X so I can build my position over there, and eventually I want to get a big enough position where I could just totally take out my Anchor loan. Because what's going to happen, and this is what I was telling you guys earlier on a different spaces, so eventually the S&P will go down. Like it just happens. Eventually the S&P corrects 20, 25, 30, 35, 50%. And so whatever level we get to, when it has that, I don't care if I'm just doing this perpetual loan on Mirror because it cost me 1.5%, as long as I can collateralize against it. But at some point when the mega correction happens, and I say when, not if, because it always does, when it happens.
Yeah, usually you're going to get, what, a 20 or 30% correction how frequently on S&P? I have to chart it again, but it would be like, what, every year almost probably?
No, it's probably not that much. Like if you think
for
like
20%, probably, huh?
I think there's like 10 to 10-ish every year. And then, but like the 20s to 30s, like we had COVID, the end of 2018, we had that kind of big 20-ish percent correction. I think there was one, you know, it's like, that's like every couple few years, but who cares?
We're already down 15% from the highs of this year.
Yeah. But I think there's a lot of reasons for a big one to come. So at any rate, the whole point is, regardless whenever it comes, I don't care, because it's not like Anchor where it's just like racking up against me. It's not. It's fixed at 1.5%. So when we correct, do the mega correction, like the 25 to 40, 50, when that happens, and I will kind of leg out of it, but I will be closing out my loan for a fraction of the cost whenever that happens. And that's what I like about it as my kind of end game loan.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, because I've had this. I mean, if I had the crash earlier, it still hasn't happened. But I'm looking at the whole 3,600 and below level to hit within the next year. I mean, that's just me.
That's like 25% off your loan. Like, you can't do that with Anchor. You can't have Anchor just kind of wipe out 25% of your loan.
I have fresh Luna that I bought all week. So besides that, and besides like what's coming out of my Anchor burns, I think I'm going to try a little bit with your process and kind of work through it. I might have you just like talk me through exactly which buttons to push.
Yeah, I might like, spin this up, Hutch.
Whether or not to use, like, so you're saying to go ahead, you're doing it through Edge also, right?
No, so Edge is just my backstop collateral staging. So,
So you have that collateral sitting there. Okay, gotcha.
I wouldn't worry about that part if I were you, Seffy. Like, you got money you can throw at it if you need to. So I would just focus on the Mirror, because right now when I started this, I was heavy Edge because it wasn't a great time to ape into the Mirror looping. But now that the price has dropped, it's like, this is when you want to loop, right?
Yeah, I just want to do a small portion just to sort of experiment with it, see how it goes.
So do round numbers.
Have my foot in the Mirror Finance protocol a little bit again, and then see what happens.
If I said it quickly, Hutch, it's short MSPY, right?
So I'll just walk you through how it works.
Just say it. Yeah.
Okay. So nobody did record this.
I'll write it down. I'll keep going.
All right. So you go like this. You go to Mirror and you go to the borrow tab. You type SPY. If for some reason you have to refresh, it's going to default to Apple. But you don't want to do that. So MSPY or SPY, right? You do the SPY. So it's going to ask you what kind of collateral, and the ones that are going to show up are UST, AUST, and Luna. And you're going to go, shit, where's Luna X? You got to like slide down one. So you slide down one and there's Luna X.
Yep.
So I would start with a round number so you can do your percentage, like whether that's 100 or 1,000 or 200, just do a round number, because then you can kind of, at the end, you'll be able to see like, oh, I get to 1. X, I get to 1.7X, I get to whatever. So do your round number for the first loop, right? And you collateralize, and it's going to, and then you pick your collateral ratio. If you're cool with the 30% drop from here, 210 is your number. 210 to basically 150 is a 30% drop. 225 to 150 is like one third, right? And if you're super conservative, you go 250 collateral. So you're going to post more Luna X, and you're going to get less shares of S&P. What you choose that dial, you choose that number wherever it is, somewhere between 210 and 250, right? You put that in there, and it's going to say, okay, you get whatever, however many shares. You get 10 shares.
But Hutch, no matter how big the size of this position is, your cost to borrow is what, 1.5%?
Yeah, it's just the min fee, and you pay that at the end.
Which is, but it's, how much is it? Is it like a fixed amount or a percentage?
No, it's 1.5%.
Percent. So really, like, if you think about your Luna X, it's earning, say, approximately 7% for the year, right? Or something like that?
It's 6.5. That's at the auto compounding, but it's taking 6.5.
It's got a fee.
So let's just call it 6.5.
So basically, if you subtract 1.5 from that, you basically have 5%. You're still making on your Luna X by holding it for a year.
Yep.
And if you did this for a year, so the minimum amount of time for 1.5% to break even on the sort of yield cost or the cost of this would be like around 3 months, maybe 4 months.
You know what?
Something like that, right? Approximately.
I guess so. I guess it'd be like, 3 months, somewhere thereabouts. Maybe probably a little bit less.
Meaning, like, would you do this kind of whole thing? Like, what would be short term? What time horizon would this make sense on for you?
So I don't think I've thought about this before, and I don't think any of that matters. It's all about price action. So you're not going to close it out soon unless you have a massive profit. So if you have a massive profit and it happens in 10 days or 2 weeks, which is what happened to me the first time I did this with AUST in January, I don't really care that I'm paying 1.5%. That's just like the cost of doing business, and annualized the cost of that loan was ridiculous. But again, there's no other loan where I can have a windfall and actually profit from my loan or have a chunk of my loan lopped off. Like, it's just not even possible. Okay.
So the 1.5 is whatever. Cause if the S&P falls, you win.
Yeah.
If nothing happens, you win. Cause you're farming the
staking rewards.
The staking rewards. And then if the S&P falls, you got a hedge and you win.
You win.
So I got 9 shares in my little calculator. What do I do with this 9 shares?
Okay. So now are you going to swap to Luna X or AUST?
Luna X.
So go to TFM.com. And when you go to TFM.com, you type in the MSPY up top and do max. And type in Luna X at the bottom. And it's going to show you
the best. For those who don't know what this says, Terraformer is a DEX aggregator. It'll check where the best prices between Loop, TerraSwap, and Astroport. And it will give you the best possible ARB rate, especially because Luna X will tend to vary. It's usually found on TerraSwap mostly or Loop.
It's, you know what, I see a lot of times it does like two legs between, like, it'll go like MSPY. It has to start with TerraSwap. That's the only one.
TerraSwap to Astroport to TerraSwap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Got it. It's, okay. Sometimes it's Loop's in there too.
The best possible route to get the cheapest possible deal is what it's doing.
All right. Well, so I'm getting 44 Luna X back now.
There you go. So take it and freaking run. And now you're going to go straight back, and now you're going to repeat the process. You go to the borrow tab of Mirror, type in MSPY, you type in Luna X, you drop your 44 in, you want to loop it again.
And I got 4 more now. So 9 plus 4. So now I'm at 13.
13 what? Shares of MSPY?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of irrelevant. How many Luna X did you start with?
What was that?
It'll say on your My page.
It was 100.
So you started with 100. So you already got to 1.44x leverage. So you want to kick it up a notch, loop it again. So take that 44, do the same process, take those shares. You want to loop. Now on your last loop, you can do Luna X and just leave it in your wallet to slap as collateral. What collateral ratio did you use?
210.
210. So it might be good to keep some. Either you have to be prepared to borrow to buy some more on dips, or you just keep that in your wallet staking, right? You do that. Or you could loop it one more time. And then every time you loop it, there's going to be a little bit less as your collateral staging to throw against your loan. If like we drip down to the 70s, tomorrow you're going to probably want to throw in a little collateral. Like 210's like the, I'm not super degen with this. Like 210's like the lowest I like to ride at. So like the ones I did today, I'm not super comfortable because it's at, I'll tell you. And this is the other thing is you can't manage the trade or you can't remove collateral off hours, but you can always add collateral.
Oh, got it. So okay. Like if tomorrow, like, you know, the SPY is going to just shoot up, you could just add Lunex tonight and get
so
it.
So here's the thing. The SPY does not shoot up that. Like when no, the SPY shoots up, it's like 5%. It's more so you're just worried about Luna shitting the bed.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Oh, so,
you know. One thing to consider, if UST's market cap right now is about $16.5 billion, at this price, Luna actually is not even like 2x the value of UST. So I think if you use that as a metric, that alone would suggest that, by the way, UST is already undervalued. I'm sorry, Luna's undervalued. And more than likely that... sort of like buyers are going to be found somewhere in this price range. So we talked a lot about this today as far as like, where's the bottom and stuff, but that's another thing I was just noticing. Because the moment like Luna drops slightly below the UST market cap in terms of like the 2x sort of collateral ratio, so to speak, like the death spiral crowd just comes out in full force. So just sort of like looked at that as maybe a surrogate value marker for deciding like when is Luna cheap is the relative size of the Luna market cap versus where UST is.
I got to run because Lucky, you and I are connecting on a spreadsheet later, correct?
45 minutes.
Yeah. So here's the deal. So you would, if you looped it one more time, you're going to get somewhere between 1.6 to 1.7x in mirror, plus there'll be a little bit of, it's not even dust, but there'll be some crumbs of Luna X on the side that you can just keep to collateralize. You can use to post on Edge. For small numbers, it's not really worth it on Edge though. So it's just kind of sitting there to collateralize. Yeah. You can just add all that back to your position and you'll get your 210 back up to like 220, which just gives you a little extra breathing room, which is kind of cool. Or the other thing you can do on your last loop is you loop the last little bit and then sell the SPY for UST and then the deposit that into Anchor Earn. Yeah. And so it's like, now you get to like 1.6, 1.7X, but you get a little bit of AUST. So it's almost like you made yourself like an 80-20 portfolio or a 90-10 portfolio.
And then let's say SPY shits the bed, then you buy back the MSPY and you give it back and you pay off your loan, essentially is what you do, right?
Yeah. I mean, like you're not going to have enough to pay for everything unless you DCA in or unless you borrow from Anchor to do it. But yeah, that's kind of the play. And then just so you guys know, and like what I'm going to do with the video is when things are high.
Well, not a like, spy shits the bed. The spy goes, wait.
Yeah.
If spy goes down, you're in good shape, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You want that to happen.
Yeah. You want spy to shit the bed.
You want spy to shit the bed. I just make sure that we're using the shit term correctly. But if SPY goes up, then you're going to do what? Provide more Luna X collateral?
But if if Luna goes up, you could stay relative to an LTV.
Yeah, if Luna goes up more than SPY, we're fine. Like SPY going up, like I said, like on days that it spikes, it goes up 5. Like, okay, the war's over. Like, what's going to make us like go up like 30%? Like,
I'm bearish SPY, so this is like perfect for me.
That's what I'm saying. Like the only reason we would just, this S&P would shoot up 30% is if like China said like, you know what, all those treasuries we hold, we don't really want them. You guys just keep them. So you don't owe $30 trillion in debt. Like this is never going to happen. Right. It's never going to happen.
Or Sefi runs for president or something like
that. There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
That would be bullish.
No.
And then what I was going to say is, for those people that don't believe that this is the bottom, because some people will be worried that like this is not the bottom and they want to buy more in the 70s or 60s or 50s, what you do is you still do the first one. You still post the 100 Luna excess collateral because you own that anyway. Like that's yours anyway. So you just park that as collateral and then you do the shares of SPY and then you just loop that and you sell that for AUST and you just build, you do like a 30-70 portfolio, if you will. You build a big ass cache of AUST.
Yeah.
And you loop the AUST. And if Luna tanks, the S&P could go up a little bit, in which case maybe you lose a little UST. But if S&P tanks, now you get a lot of that AUST for a discount. And if both tank, you get the AUST for a discount, and then you get to use it to buy Luna X as a discount. You get it?
Yeah, I got it. I'm with you.
I'm leaking all the alpha before the video, but anyway, I hope you guys enjoy it.
Yeah, we will all rewatch the video.
We're going to need to rewatch it to figure out what the hell is going on.
Don't you worry. We're going to have a watch party.
I think what it is, if you're not used to A, shorting things, and B, you're not used to borrowing against something that also moves in value while you're shorting something, then, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to sort of keep track of, I guess. And that's where the conversation goes to hell.
There is an extra variable, but if you just think about it, intrinsically, the chances of S&P outrunning Luna X in the long term, in the short term, Luna could shit the bed, in which case you have to have collateral staging to slap at it. But in the long term, the thought of S&P outrunning Luna, if you're hanging out in these spaces, you probably don't believe that's true.
Probably. No chance of that.
Right. So it's like, yes, you could have a pegged loan to anchor that slightly accrues against you. But why, when you can have this loan that maybe slightly accrues against you like the S&P can, but could massively shit the bed and just lop off a huge part of your loan? That's the beauty of it. And that's what I told you guys on an earlier space.
S&P falls, you have free money because it's going to cost you very little to pay off your loan in theory.
That's it.
Or it costs you 20 or 30% less.
Less. Yeah. And and that's what I was saying, like with all the other types of degen strategies, there's always a loan cost. There is no other loan that it's even possible to profit from the loan itself. It's just not even possible. But you can actually profit from this loan. And if that takes 3 years, which it might, like the powers that be have a wonderful way of manipulating things, be it the price of gold, keeping crypto down.
It still only costs you 1.5%.
1.5%.
You've gotten a whole bunch more Luna out of it because you were able to loop.
It's 1.5% that you don't even pay till the end. You pay when you close the loan.
Because you were telling me that maybe I want to like unwind some of my anchor borrow with and maybe get a cheaper loan on this system, potentially, at least some of it.
Yeah. And you would do that by the last thing I just said. Like you start the first loop with Luna X, and then you start looping AUST, right? And maybe you don't even loop it. Maybe you just park a crap ton of Luna X and you just take one thing of AUS or of sell the SPY for
and
USD.
Then go repay my loan with the AUS.
That's it.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I might do that because I might do a little bit of both, actually. I might split this strategy a little bit.
So the seeds start here. The seeds start when Luna's low because right now you're at a 210 to 220 collateral ratio, but I started this when Luna was at 100 and it shot up to 118. All of a sudden I caught myself at like 240, 250. And I'm like, now I got some Luna X to play with. I can now release some of the Luna X, turn it into SPY, sell it. Now I have UST. So as Luna X starts to outperform the S&P, that's when I think I'm going to be able to. That was our phone call. That's when I'm going to totally be able to start to incrementally pay off my anchor loan. Luna X rises against the S&P. I got to run. I got to call this guy back.
Nice.
Lucky. Cool. I'll talk to you in 40.
Yep.
Might use this as a tactic to figure out how to pay back my anchor loan at some point. That might be cool. I was going to say the sheer velocity that Luna fell the last few days, it's just obvious deleveraging events happening. you know, these are like my favorite times to buy in crypto, because usually these super high velocity dumps lead to really, really quick, you know, pushes to the upside. Usually it's a mix of like short squeeze, a mix of people taking deliberately crazy long positions, and like that 50X I was just telling you about a little while ago that someone did. And that tends to kind of cause like a sudden push upwards. And, you know, just judging by, you know, the overall, you know, market, like it wouldn't, oh, I mean, overall with Luna, like it wouldn't be surprising at all if you just suddenly just ripped to 100 or something like that or beyond. Because if you look historically, like if you've been here all last year, it's after these kinds of good dumps that we had some of our biggest run-ups in Luna's history. So, but that's true just in crypto in general. Like you deleverage, you kill off all these leveraged long positions, and there's not that much downside left. And then people start jumping in. So don't think for a second like the whale type accounts aren't watching for that. While you're depressed about the price of Luna going down, that's precisely what they'll be looking for, is like really bearish behavior. Most of the selling is basically exhausted, and all the leverage has basically been destroyed. You know, the long positions, and then, you know, they'll jump in, and then, you know, they won't sell. So this is kind of how that game is played. And then depending on how much money they're making, a person might wind up, you know, if the higher the price goes, the more likely those same people will post short positions, because then they can, you know, hedge their holdings, essentially make more money when they hit those little tops. They'll take the profit from those short positions, and then they'll buy themselves even more Luna. So this is how this game is played. And like the more depressed you are about the price, the more likely it's just going to absolutely rip, because it's been a crazy dump. Raul Paul was again like mentioning that he thought maybe this was so many people that were in various levels of profit from trading, but they didn't set aside taxes, and tax time is coming up in the U.S. for April 15th. And maybe some of this represents people sitting down on the weekend trying to do their taxes and realizing, holy shit, I got to find some money. Now they're selling stuff to try to find it and causing this ripple effect possibly. So I don't know. It's some conjecture. And there's also some people that will trade the idea that tax time is coming as well. So, you know, maybe some of those were like short positions that pushed it out even more. So generally speaking, don't wait till the last second to save up your money for taxes, because if you do that, you might end up having to sell low, which might be a terrible time to pay up. At least in the U.S., the way taxes work is April 15th, you're supposed to have your taxes paid up. And otherwise, you'll have some sort of like penalties and this and that going on, you know, after the fact. So that's just something to bear in mind.
Seth, otherwise, we have a special guest again.
What? Who is what?
Seth, I don't want Luna to
liquidated. Seth, I don't want to get liquidated.
Oh, I don't want to get liquidated.
You're not going to get liquidated. Your dad knows exactly what he's doing.
She was all worried all day.
Yeah, of course, naturally.
That is rich, Lucky. That is rich, man.
That's awesome.
Thank you for that. Oh man, yeah, deleveraging.
Seffy, don't allow me to get liquidated. I've got to start going and buying right now, right? Like that's what she's saying.
But anyway. I mean, it's crazy, like your point of view, right? Like Edu was messaging me earlier, and he was like, oh, it looks like a open sale. Like the market looks just, everything is so cheap. So, I mean, if you're in it for the long run, it's like a, you know, like a yard sale basically out there right now.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I've got to jump. I've got to go hit dinner here for a bit with the fam. So we'll catch up. Cool.
Okay, cool.
I guess
thanks. Thanks for coming, Seffy. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to put these kids to bed. So.
Okay, Lucky.
I'll see you.
Both of y'all come back if you like. Anytime.
Yep, welcome.
All right, pleasure. Morph, anyone want to come and co-host? Who else is here? But I saw Fildo. Maybe he disappeared. Oh, he's here. Fildo, do you want to come up?
I can see that you're eating ramen in your avatar. Maybe you're actually eating ramen. I like this new avatar, Fildo. It's good. Yeah, well, anybody can speak. If they'd like to come up, any questions, anything at all, please come and ask. I think the end of what we were talking about there, basically the Stator Labs Phantom sort of partnership or what have you, I posted a link to that. I think Seffi did as well. Like we were talking about, the first product is the liquid staking, and you can borrow against that. You bring your Phantom to Stator, and you can sort of do the liquid staking and borrow against it. The second product that they have on the roadmap is a simple staking. And the third product on the roadmap, I can't remember what it was. But the article is there. It's still sort of nebulous in the sense that it's not quite, there's no launch date or anything like that. But it looks like they've probably already started development on it. And like the partnership is pretty firmly in place. So that's kind of exciting. Sort of a reverse on what just happened in the sense that Beethoven X opening up this partnership with Sam Kazemian of Frax and of course Doe, temporarily, sort of my take on it is a temporary partnership before they face off for the final showdown after, sort of obliterating all their opponents, DAI and what have you, DAI and all the other stablecoin opponents. So it's probably a wise temporary partnership in general. They can sort of clear out the stage and then prepare for the final showdown, if such a thing even has to happen. I don't know, but generally that's the case. I mean, there has to be, the one that's adopted at the end, the one that has the most liquidity and everywhere, the deepest pool, so the robots basically start feasting. So anyway, to that point, they seeded a bunch of liquidity, a bunch of UST and Luna into Beethoven X for the Claire de Lune pool. So as Seffi was telling us earlier, it's not quite a normal dynamic DCA. It's like your lazy man DCA, because essentially you are getting some IL. You're suffering some impermanent loss while you're in that position. It's not exactly like exponentially DCAing as it goes down, right? So if you have the time, it's probably better to sit there and just dynamically DCA. Take 100% of what you're going to spend and maybe, put in 20% now if you think it's going to dip a bit more. And then if it's at 80 now and you think it's going to 60, maybe put in up to you, but maybe like 30% now. And then when it goes down to 60, put in the other 70% so that you're exponentially buying more as it goes down. So you're dollar cost averaging your entry price down. That way, when you have the run up afterwards, you can make everything back and more. So you have to make sure that you have a strategy if you're planning on holding. I think Seffi and Lucky and everyone keeps bringing that point that there's a million billion strategies that we talk about. So many different strategies, so many different protocols, so many different chains. Just find one that you like that makes sense to you, that if you think about it, you can see where this strategy would end up in a year or 2 years or to Nollar's sort of mind 15 years from now, wherever your sort of long game is, see if you can understand how the strategy, what would happen if the coin went down? What would happen if it went up? Like, do you really understand this strategy? And if you think you do, but you're not sure, test it out. Don't just ape into it. Like put maybe, 1% of your portfolio there and like monitor it. Is it doing good? Did you understand it? If everything looks like it's a go, then, ape in. But make sure you understand the strategy. Strategy is more important. Like everyone keeps saying price is a meme. And what that means to me is that it doesn't really matter what the price is. Essentially, it can't be zero, of course, but to the effect of that you have a strategy if it goes up or down or sideways or what have you, that's sort of what it means to me. I tweeted at Elon. I doubt that he paid attention, but I told him he should fix spaces and add a screen share. It's very difficult to pin the tweets to the top. Kind of clunky. And I wanted to pin the couple tweets. So if anybody wants to do that and get some sort of like, plug themselves up there, feel free to do that if they want to pin the tweet for either one of the Stator Labs or the other one. Feel free to pin it up there if you like. So yeah, back to the effect of a bunch of liquidity came to Beethoven X, and now a bunch of Phantom liquidity will come to Stator. So that's very interesting, sort of cross-pollination that's happening between Phantom and Terra. Bullish for both of those ecosystems personally. Some of us here aren't really that much into Phantom, but it's definitely an interesting ecosystem. I think it's a little more gamified. It's sort of RPG-esque. A lot of the swaps and stuff have like cute little characters and ghosts and cats and stuff like that. So it's kind of fun. I mean, obviously you're making serious investments. You know, you're using your money to make investments, but it doesn't have to be like a drag. So that's nice. And it's actually pretty smooth, like the whole interfaces, and then the gas prices are very cheap there as well. You're like paying a fraction of a cent, I think. Maybe like 2 cents or something. They're very cheap gas prices. So if you haven't, I highly recommend checking it out. And I think the place that I would go to first is Beethoven X. And the protocol is in the title of the space. And essentially that the devs over there and just the whole vibe over there is really great. They're really committed to the long term. And Beats just took a huge hit. So if you're looking to farm Beats, now is a very good time, I think. So the Claire de Lune is the new hot pool there. Back to the point of other Phantom things. Aizen was kind enough to tell us a strategy or two. If you're looking for some interesting moves there to keep it in the Terra chamber, sort of, I think myself, I'm mostly interested in Terra. So any way I can get more Luna or something in another ecosystem is interesting. So a play that he told me about, which was very interesting to me because I also wanted to acquire some of these Phantom tokens, is if you go onto SpookySwap, that you can provide liquidity there, and you can choose whatever pair you'd like to provide. But for example, you could provide Phantom and USDC or something. And then essentially you get your LP and then you farm it. You're rewarded in Boo tokens. You can take your Boo tokens and you stake them and you get to choose your reward. And LFG seeded a bunch of Luna into this spooky swap. So you can choose to be rewarded in Luna. So if you have a bunch of Phantom or if you have one of the coins listed on the farm, you might think about checking that out. That's a spooky swap. You can essentially get your LP, stake it, farm it, get the liquid staking token, and then stake that, and then you can choose your reward. So right now, the one of the rewards is Luna. So an interesting way to farm Luna that I don't think a lot of people like knew about. I certainly did not know about that. It just started yesterday, so not a surprise. In case anyone missed all of that, it was like so much alpha. I have like a notebook written full of notes that don't really make that much sense to me because I think at that time I was moving fast enough to understand it all. But now I see the notes. I think I have to let it all bounce around in my head, and then I got solid understanding of two or three of the strategies he told us, which was very cool. And some of them I'm not really interested in playing around in. There was one that he told us about that was just wild. It was some Ponzi scheme that he's participating in the sense that he's like writing it up and then getting out. It's called Bean. Bean. I've never heard of it. I guess they have like a bunch of different tokens like wind and weather and all this kind of stuff. And somehow he's making 10% APY a day or a month. 10% APY a month. Which left us, of course, all flabbergasted. Aizen just like, you know, I forget, somebody told him, they were like, oh, activating the amps. And he was like, oh, amps? I don't even notice a difference. I'm like, oh, shit, man. So, of course, you know, everybody's working with a different portfolio size. So an interesting thing that you can do if you're not already is follow the white whale. So there's a site or two that you can basically look for the largest wallets on any protocol. And it's a very good idea to sort of track those wallets because at least to find out where the money is moving, if you don't want to do those same moves yourself, that's fine. And also something to keep in mind is when you look at those positions, like we found a wallet, for example, it has $2 trillion in it. So it's one of the whales that we're tracking. And it has like giant positions in Mars, and it has giant positions in Mir. And the point is, you can at least see what they're doing and when they move. And then the thing to watch out for is you don't know when they entered, obviously. So it may look like they're sitting tight, but it could be that they entered when the coin was much lower or something. So it's not like you can just copy trade their portfolio or something like that. But it's definitely useful to follow some whales if you're not already. And Aizen and I were laughing about it because we're both following whales. Both of our groups are following whales. And there's some Discord that he told us about. It's called Reaper Discord. If you didn't catch this alpha yesterday, Reaper Discord, you can go and join that. And basically Hot Alpha is there. I haven't got the time yet. Actually, I made some notes here. Let me just go over my notes and I'll try and redrop the alpha if anybody's interested in... It was magical. It really was. I felt very blessed. So anyway, the point is that Bean, if anyone knows more about this Bean token and this whole strategy, please feel free to come up. So I think it was on Dopex. There's also something on Dopex that he was doing. So yeah, if you're going to use any of these strategies, please make sure that you research them. Anyway, yeah. Basically, there's so many things. So maybe it's not a good idea to go through all of them. But if anybody was in the spaces yesterday and wants to know any more about any of those strategies, please just DM me, and I'd be happy to either DM you or we'll have a spaces and go over it. So essentially, those were my favorites from yesterday. But that one drop with the Reaper Discord, I haven't checked it out, but from Aizen, I'm suspecting it's pretty good information. There's also a couple more things that he dropped that were very interesting. One is Dex Screener, if you're not already using that. Supposedly they have charting for almost all the coin pairs. So for me, I like charting a lot to sort of plan my strategy. It's more like a map. You can, plan what's your strategy if it goes here, or where's the volume floor. You can sort of plan an entry price, whatever. It's very helpful for my sort of to plan my investment thesis. So there were several coin pairs I couldn't find any charts for, and Aizen was kind enough to share this with us. Dex Screener. It's like DEX Screener. So yeah, I think that's about it for all the alpha that I've sort of heard about. We'll be doing our best to collect it as it comes through. I have a bunch of IRL stuff to do this week, but I will definitely try and create the Discord. We'll be needing to have moderators and stuff like that, because I'm sure the bots will pile in and just try to basically just mess the whole experience up for everyone. So if anybody's interested in like getting rewarded to be a moderator in some form or fashion, we'll be having like rare NFTs and stuff like that, or tokens, or like if you're actually interested in being a moderator, just like DM me or something, we'll work something out. We need DM. I'd like to set up the moderators first, like some sort of people that are interested, because if you've been on like ThorSwap's Discord or any of them, just the amount of people trying to scam people and like steal from people on there is kind of sad. So it requires active management. More to that topic, I'd like people to submit what sort of groupings they'd like. For example, like elves, dark elves, stuff like that. Like what kind of sort of lore do we want to use? I'm open to anything, really. I was thinking about, for starters, just having ones that were obvious. Like some people are obviously elves in their pictures, so we could have elves. Some people are obviously pirates or cats, so we could have like very simple categories. If anybody wanted to use a different lore or something, really you can be anything you want, and then stuff like that. So we'll start having some cool talks or like idea submissions, and we'll look through them and try to pick something that seems exciting for everybody. And then I'm going to collect all of the Discord research that I've done and pull them into different channels on the Discord, so that you don't have to look at... I have, I think, 15 Discords right now on one account, just on one account. And I look through them every day, and it's kind of time-consuming. So what I want to do is group them all together. So each one of the Discords I'm following will go into a channel on our Discord. So you can just like look through... Essentially, the announcements will come through to the So basically, that's where they drop the alpha. Anyway, on the announcements channel. So if you're not currently following Discords, usually what they do, these protocols, is they'll drop the alpha on the Discord and then wait for a couple hours or a day before they drop it on Twitter. So that's where you get all the hot alpha, is from these Discords, essentially. Aizen was saying the same. So if you're spending a lot of time on Twitter and stuff, you might want to take some of your time and just look through the Discords. But it's coming soon. You'll have a way to just look through at least the protocols that I'm personally invested in the Discord. And if anybody wants to add an input or sort of a feed from a different protocol, then we can. So it's going to be sort of an aggregator for alpha as well. And then we'll have videos that Lucky's making and Hutch is making and everything posted there in sort of categories, like maybe grid bots or, you know, charting or DCA strategy or whatever it is. So there'll be videos there, sort of video content, and then maybe articles and stuff, depending on what our community puts forth. I personally want to just start doing a couple of videos on charting, because I'm not seeing a lot of people doing that, and it can be very useful. So probably, like, I'm waiting to see if they implement, screen sharing in this app. Because that would be very handy. But if they don't, maybe we'll figure out how to do like a Twitch or something and have Seffy and Lucky come. And so to get everybody more aligned on a schedule or something, like just so that everyone can come, I guess more people can show up. Or maybe we'll host like two of them or something. But it seems like a lot of people that wake up, or a lot of people on the other side of the world, they have trouble coming at a certain time and vice versa, obviously. So I think if we plan them like a couple days ahead of time, and then sort of start like letting everyone know about it, then maybe it'll be a little easier for everybody to attend. Anyway, that's pretty much it. That's all I have for now. Does anybody want to come up and ask any questions or speak or anything? Please feel free to request. Let's see. Edu, you still with us?
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was part one of a two-part space hosted by the DGen Kitty Guild, chatting about Nebula, Stator, some Alpha, some Phantom. Recorded on Monday, April 11th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Intern Capital. Everyone knows interns make the world go round, so when it comes to picking out your interns, make sure you choose the best. The best, you say? That's right, the best. And everyone knows all the best interns come from Intern Capital. Be sure to follow Intern Capital on Twitter and keep an eye out April 14th for the Intern FT Mint launching on One Planet. Links are in the show notes. And for more information, check out intern.capital. Be sure to follow Intern Capital on Twitter for daily ship posts and stock tips. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. They say rapping is the gateway, bringing home great pay. Checking that replay, sing along and we say nobody gives a fuck around my way. I make about $3 for every 1,000 plays. So add it up and do the math on that. Financially speaking, why the fuck would anybody wanna rap? But in this reality, the money comes from doing shows. But then where's the money go when you can't do the shows? I guess you could rap on Cameo. I've been asking all my friends if I can rap on the patio. 6 feet, motherfucker, step the fuck back. Doing a little magic, pulling rabbits out the rucksack. Not everybody's always in it for the money. Looking like another crooked Sunday and I'm working Monday. So you know I ain't stressing, left debating great methods. A mace to play Inception, the bass stay blessed.
See, even with these huge sums of overall royalties, the sums of money that go to the record label per playback can seem insultingly small. Many rights holders are making around three quarters of a cent to listen to one of their tracks, leaving only some portion of that for the actual artist. You can't even say they're making pennies per play. Until they can figure out how to turn a profit, their future will always be in question. But for now, Investors see enough potential to continue to fund pennies.
Another day, another lesson. Living in the eighth dimension might be worth a little mention. Living in the Great Depression, got a real regal feel. Reeling in another sucker fish out to make a deal, just to make a motherfucker wish. Aw, shit, now you only got two left. You know what I wish? We didn't have any loose ends. You know what I miss? Listening to excuses. Now we're on the fence like we forgot how to choose. That's what happens when people don't know what's true. In the dark, eating bullshit up like a mushroom. In the lunchroom, just trying to laugh it off. Meanwhile, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Like a fake mating call at the zoo. It's looking like the view is getting disappointing too. I'm working on the new shit, trying to produce it. It's what I'm willing to go through when I'm making my music.